This is Digital Story Podcast number 699, August 6, 2019. Today's theme is How to Defeat Routine. I'm Derek Story. My favorite definition of routine is by Merriam-Webster, which says, habitual or mechanical performance of an established procedure. As we do something over and over, our brains can take shortcuts because we're familiar with the sequence of steps, such as taking a picture, and this certainly can dampen our creativity. But today, we will restore vitality to our photography in 5 easy steps. Don't get me wrong, there are moments in my life when I like routine. Mornings are a perfect example. I don't want to reinvent the first hour of my day every day. I honestly do not. And if you see me during that first hour, you will understand why. I want it to be as mindless as possible. Feed the cat, pour the coffee, check the email. This is about all I can handle before 6 a.m. I also like my first 30 minutes at work. Unpack my bag, once again feed the cat, although a different cat this time, make another cup of coffee, read the day's news, post online, have breakfast. I truly enjoy this. The joy of routine is that it's easy on the brain. I can gently work up to my day, and by 8:30 a.m. or so, I'm operating at full capacity. Here's the thing, though. Routine can work against us as well. It can dampen our enthusiasm for romance, stifle innovation, and dull our creativity. The part that fascinates me is that as photographers, we work so hard to master the steps that lead to professional image making. We learn about exposure, color, motion, composition, depth of field, focal length, and more. I mean, there are so many things to wrap our head around. These are the tools of the trade, and you know, they're important. We have to be good at those things in order to excel as photographers. The thing is, we sometimes make a critical mistake when we're comfortable with that sequence of events. So instead of springing headfirst into the creative unknown when we pick up our camera, we tend to rely on our ability to make an image that's simply good enough. We understand exposure, color, motion, composition, depth of field, focal length, and more. We put those into play. We make a picture. Well, that is probably better than a lot of the other pictures that we see online, and we call it a day. Unlike our morning coffee, however, I really feel like we must resist this urge to operate on autopilot or semi-autopilot. Photography is a different endeavor than the first hour in the morning. And so, in order to help us stay fresh and to plunge into the creative unknown, I have 5 steps to defeat routine. And I'm going to dig right into them right now. Now, some of these will fly in the face of truisms that we hear all the time in the world of photography. You know, we make pictures, not the camera, you know, all that kind of rhetoric. But these things are tried and true. I use them all the time. In fact, I just used them on this last road trip when I was scouting up in the Humboldt Redwoods for our next workshop. So this stuff's fresh in my mind, and I use it all the time. And the first one is exactly that. Get in the car and go somewhere. We all hear, yes, yes, you can make pictures in your backyard or right around your house. And yes, you can. And yes, you should. But not always. Not always. And this is a thing that we're really fighting against, right? Routine, this mechanical procedure. You know, we're fighting against it. Sometimes you just need to get in the car and go somewhere. Most of us can set aside a day for a road trip. Now, we might have to plan, we might have to move some things around, but most of us can do that or figure out a way to do that. So make it happen. Go somewhere that you haven't been before or that you haven't been there for a while. Let your eyes take in all the new stimulation, all the new scenery, all the new urban environment, all the new potholes, whatever it happens to be, and then set things in motion. It's invigorating and it's amazing that how much new photography, how much fresh photography you can produce just by simply getting in the car and going somewhere new. I'm not talking about Machu Picchu, although, yeah, that's a good one, right? I'm talking about something that is 2 hours away that you can get to in your car. If you draw a circle around where you live of places that you can drive in 2 to 3 hours, I bet you there's a lot of stuff there, and I bet you there are things that you haven't seen in some time. Second one, try a new lens. Now, whether you rent or buy, that's up to you. Makes no difference to me. The thing is that a new optic is a new way to see the world. And it's very interesting, especially when you get something that's wider than you already have, or longer than you already have, or has a maximum aperture that you haven't experienced before. Then suddenly you go, wow, what can I do with this? And again, this sets the mind into a new sequence of possibilities. Let's say that you get an extremely wide lens that you haven't shot with before. And you're going, okay, now, how can I do this, right? Because I just don't want to shoot these scenes where people are just like these little munchkins, right? I want to do something that has impact. Should I get closer? Should I go here? Should I go there? Should I point it upward or downward? You know, you start thinking about all these things. A longer lens, what can I do with the background? A lens with a super fast aperture. Ooh, what if I shot at dusk? Or what if I shot at night? Or what if I try stars? You know, lenses have a way of getting our juices flowing. And again, you don't always have to buy the new lens, although I'm not against that. I would be a hypocrite if I said that. However, you can rent a cool lens, an exotic lens, get that lens, and then get in the car, and then go somewhere and see what you can do. All right? So number two, try a new lens, get a new view on the world. Number three, work with new people. Now, I have an anecdote to tell you. When I was up in Eureka, which is the furthest point north that I went for my exploration, my research for our Humboldt Redwoods workshop, I met someone that's attending the workshop who lives in the area. His name's Richard, and he's just a terrific guy. He's been part of our community for quite some time. And I thought, okay, I need to talk to Richard. I know I'm going to be in his backyard. So we met at Lost Coast Brewing Company there in Eureka, which is just fabulous. We met for lunch, had good food, each had a beer, and had some good conversation. And so I asked him, I said, you know, why? Why are you attending this workshop when you live right here? I think it's great because I love having locals as part of the workshop because they know stuff I don't know. And, you know, they're going, hey, but if you just go right over here, you know, that kind of thing. But his answer was, because I want to see the scenery that I work with all the time, the scenery that I have hundreds of pictures of, I want to see it through new eyes. I want to see it through the eyes of those attending this workshop that don't live here. And I was listening to Richard talk and I go, you are absolutely right. That is fascinating. I love that perspective. And I love it that you have the awareness to, you know, sign up for this workshop and experience that. And his point was that it will make him better as a photographer working in his own, you know, home area there. And he's absolutely right. You know, there's something about workshops in particular, although I'm not saying specifically workshops for this point, and I'll get to that in a second. But there's something about workshops for me, which is where I get to experience working with new people. You know, I scouted these places. A lot of times I've been to these places many times, and then I go there with 8 new people, and suddenly it's like I've never been there before when I look at the pictures afterwards. It is incredible. Now, aside from workshops, which I think are a great way to do this, is that you can work with a photo buddy. You can attend a camera club meeting or an outing, you know, something where you get to work with people that you haven't worked with before and then get to see their pictures afterwards or during the event itself. I think this is a really cool way and a very enjoyable way, not only to help us defeat routine and doing things the same way over and over again, you know, to help us open our eyes to new possibilities, but also to socialize a bit with people who have a shared interest. So work with new people, point number three, really gets the juices going. Number four, design a photo challenge. You know, speaking of the workshops, one of the things that many participants really like is the daily photo assignments that I have for them during the workshop. And, you know, they go, oh yeah, you know, that really got me, you know, thinking about this or that or in a new way. Well, you can design photo challenges for yourself and then stick to them. So, for instance, you can challenge yourself to shoot with a new technique for the day, such as HDR. And by doing so, by, you know, challenging yourself to use this new technique and then sticking to it, that can open up the passages for other creative perspectives as well. In addition to whatever your photo assignment is, you're going to get, I mean, you're not going to make yourself a photo assignment for something that you do all the time, right? Yes, I always shoot portraits, so my photo assignment is to shoot a portrait today. No, wrong answer. That is not what you want to do. You want to make your photo assignment to do something that's opposite of portraits, right? Macro photography, something like that. So photo assignments can be self-assigned and they can be just as effective as when someone else gives them to you at a workshop or in a class. Number five, shoot in manual exposure mode. Now the reason why I pick this is because setting the exposure mode is at the beginning of most of our photo routines, right? We start out by setting the exposure mode. A lot of times that will be program or aperture priority. And then once we do that, then the familiar sequence of events kicks in, you know, auto white balance, raw, whatever it happens, you know, to be. And then, you know, we're right in the middle of our routine. But what if you made a change right at the beginning of that sequence? And a lot of times that would be or could be setting your mode dial to manual exposure. This totally disrupts the whole sequence because, you know, now you have to set shutter and aperture manually. You've already slowed down. Now you're thinking about more possibilities. You go, well, since I have to set the aperture anyway, how much depth of field do I want? Or since I have to set the shutter speed anyway, do I want to stop motion or do I want, you know, motion to be blurry and kind of, you know, more airy? You know, and suddenly you start asking yourself all these questions that you may not ask yourself when you're in program mode. So shooting in manual exposure mode is a great way to disrupt the routine. And I'm not, you know, it's funny. A lot of times, you know, we hear people say, well, if you're a real photographer, you always shoot in manual. And all that kind of rhetoric. I am not talking about that at all. You're already a real photographer. If you weren't a real photographer, you would not be listening to this show, right? You'd be doing something else right now. Listening to music or listening to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me or listening to something like that, okay? But you are a real photographer. You are listening to the show. So we already know that. You don't have to prove that to me or anyone else. I'm saying that you should go every now and then to manual exposure mode for a completely different reason. And that reason is to disrupt the sequence that leads to routine, let it open up new passages of creativity, and follow that and see where it goes. That is what I'm talking about. So those are my five tips for defeating routine. Get in the car and go somewhere. Try a new lens. Work with new people. Design your own photo challenge and shoot in manual exposure mode. These are all fun things. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is good stuff. It's not like I'm telling you you have to eat broccoli here, right? In order to get out of the routine. It's not like I'm telling you you have to do something that you don't like. You're going to like all of these things. It's just that we sometimes forget to do them or to give ourselves permission or to whatever, to make the time. I guess it's really make the time to jump out of the routine. I'm not anti-routine. It helps us conserve our energy to get through the day. But we don't want routine to become our day, especially when we're making pictures. Fight back when you're engaged in photography and surprise yourself with something fresh and new. New course offering, podcast skills. All right. A course on podcasting has been the number one request for new workshop topics. And it has been this way for a while. In other words, when people ask me, hey, have you ever considered doing this, ... it's amazing how many times people have asked me, have you ever considered teaching a course on podcasting? And it makes perfect sense when you think about it, especially as photographers and as storytelling. Podcasting is one of those things that is a natural for us, but at the same time, we don't have a lot of residual training in it based on what we're doing right now, taking pictures. So I've been thinking about this for some time and the best way to do it. And originally I was thinking of like a physical workshop, and I had this idea, you know, where I'd have the classroom set up with a U-shaped table, and we'd all have, you know, microphones at our own workstation, and, you know, we would do this kind of thing. And then I was thinking, no, that's really not going to work. That's not practical, because as I started digging into the topics themselves, we didn't really need to be there live, right? And it's not like we're going to go out and take pictures and then come back and work on them. So, you know, traveling all that way from wherever you are to wherever the class is, to sit in front of a microphone and a computer, to me, just didn't seem like the best use of your resources. So I thought, okay, I've done the Nimble Class series. I have experience doing that, and those came off quite well. What if we went that direction? So I started noodling on that, and that is where I decided to go for this. Now, instead of being a half-day class like we did with the Nimble Classroom series, this is going to be a full-day course on podcasting for people who are not podcasters. So this is a introductory course or a beginning course based on all the stuff I've learned over the last 14 years. And I've done podcasts for Apple. I did Inside Aperture, which Joe Scherr told me was something that people asked him about for years after we quit doing it. I've done podcasts for Adobe. I did Inside Lightroom for them. I've done The Digital Story now. This is episode 699. I know I don't need to convince you that I know what I'm talking about with podcasting, but I have been doing it for a while for a lot of different people, including myself. Here is some of the stuff we're going to cover in this one-day course. We're going to talk about recording hardware because, you know, that, just like camera gear, is important, and if you don't know, you don't know, and you don't know where to start. We're going to talk about editing software. We're going to talk about concept and creation, because this is very important, and especially when combined with essential storytelling techniques. This is another thing we're going to cover. I'm going to talk about show notes, you know, the role in show notes, and, you know, how do you approach doing show notes. Syndication and RSS feeds, which for a lot of people is this total voodoo black magic stuff. We're going to cover it. Getting your show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Stitcher, and more. I'm going to tell you how to do that. Adding music to your show and where to find it, right? That part's important too. You need some music. Otherwise, you're just a guy with a mic. So a little bit of music really helps. Editing workflow. How do you go from point A to point B to point C to end up with an MP3 file that you can upload and then have Apple play it on Apple Podcasts? You know, how do you get from A to B, from an idea to actually showing up on Apple Podcasts? Promoting your podcast, very important. Okay, there are things that you can do to help you have a faster start than if you don't do them. And then finally, the ins and outs of advertising and sponsorships. This is a changing area. It's There have been some real changes in the last couple of years. I'm going to talk about that. We're going to cover all of that. And the way I'm going to do it, I'm going to divide it up into modules. So each of those things that I just talked about is going to be a module, a standalone module, and I'm going to record it. So then not only will you be there for the live class, wherever you are, you can be watching at home, you can be watching, hopefully not at work, because they probably frown upon that. It's going to be on a Saturday, so I'm hoping you won't be at work. But you can watch anywhere where you have a computer, a tablet, a smartphone, an internet connection. But then I'm also recording it as modules, so they'll be easy to digest modules. In other words, you'll have a module that says recording hardware. You'll have a module that says editing software, on and on and on. And you will get those in HD afterwards. So regardless of what you're doing or how you're attending during the live class, you will get these HD videos afterwards. Now, the live class, though, does have some benefits, and part of them is we're going to have Q&A during the course itself. So as we go, we will have questions and answers, and we will talk about things that are on your mind and on the minds of those that are attending class with you. Now, we're limiting class to 10 people, all right? So just 10 folks per class. Because again, just like all the things that I do, the workshops and so forth, I want to have a very hands-on, personal approach. Plus, in addition to the class itself, in addition to the videos afterwards and the Q&A, each class participant will be entitled to one follow-up, one-on-one session after the workshop, so we can address the questions that are unique to your goals. So this is after the class. So you've attended the class, had a chance to think about this. You've had a chance to think about what you want to do. After all that, you still get a one-on-one session, and that's part of your tuition. Now, the whole course, all that stuff that I just mentioned, is $249 for everything. That includes the one-on-one, the movies, and the live presentation. And Inner Circle members will get a 10% discount on tuition. So that is really nice. The dates for podcast skills, we have two of them set right now. They're both on Saturdays. And the first one's going to be on Saturday, October 12th. And the second one is going to be on Saturday 9th. And we may do a third one in December. Stay tuned on that. Now, you can register right now. Registration is open at thenimblephotographer.com. This is where folks are signing up for our other workshops. Just go to thenimblephotographer.com. Click on the workshops tab there. You'll have both the October 12th and the November 9th sessions available. First come, first serve on this, and then we close the door at 10, all right, at 10 for each. Pick the date that works best for you. If you have any questions, you can always use the contact form on the Nimble Photographer. And that, you know, the contact form's there in the nav bar. Send me your question. I'll get back to you. And hopefully that will give you the information you need to know if this is right for you or not. So I'm totally, as you can tell by my voice, I'm totally jazzed about this, our podcast skills course. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and I think you're going to learn a lot of things that you've always wondered about, but you just didn't know how it worked. Well, you're going to find out if you take this course. Speaking of podcasts, I want to remind you that I have a new Nimble interview up with Chuck Lavelle, the keyboardist for the Rolling Stones, who are on tour right now. So I actually talked to Chuck in between tour stops. If you haven't listened to that podcast yet, we start out talking about the gig that he had on Eric Clapton's Unplugged album, talks about working on stage with the Rolling Stones, talks about his role with the Rolling Stones, gets into his writing and his views on forestry and conservation. Fascinating dude. You can listen to it right now. Just go to thenimblephotographer.com and click on podcast, or listen to it on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you tune in to your shows. The Sony CyberShot RX107 what you need to know. And I have a link to this entire article, which is on DP Review. But I just wanted to talk about this little camera for a second. Here are the opening two paragraphs from the DP Review article. I'm just going to read them to you right now. The Sony Cybershot RX100-7 is, as its name suggests, the seventh completely new model in the company's pocketable large sensor zoom compact series. Like 2018's Mark VI, the 7 is a 1-inch sensor pocket super zoom with a lens that stretches from a wide-angle 24mm equivalent to the telephoto realms of 200mm equivalent at the long end. Like its predecessor, it features stacked CMOS sensor with DRAM storage built into the chip itself, allowing it to buffer data so it quickly reads out from the sensor. But the main thing the latest camera brings is updated autofocus capability and usability, which could prove to be bigger steps forward than it might sound. Now, the Sony Cybershot RX100 is available for pre-order now, and I have a link in the show notes, for $1,198, and it should ship by the end of the month, by the end of August, and it could ship as early as mid-August. This is quite a camera. This camera has been quite a camera for some time, and when it was first announced last week, I posted a question on our Digital Story Facebook group. You know, what do you all think of this? And, you know, does the improved autofocus and improved burst mode, is that important? You know, does that make this camera, you know, something that you would want if you weren't thinking about it otherwise? Because the way a lot of the reviews are positioning it is that you can shoot sports with this pocket camera. And because it does have a 1-inch sensor, which is quite decent, it does have that beautiful Zeiss zoom, and it does have that very sophisticated Sony sensor, then suddenly you can go out and, you know, shoot your son's or daughter's soccer game and come away with professional-looking shots with this camera. It also has the pop-up electronic viewfinder, has a very nice LCD screen. And people said, you know what? The improved autofocus and the improved burst mode is a big deal, and it might be something that makes me look at the camera. And, you know, this is a crew that always, you know, tells me what they truly think, which I love this about them. Of course, some people did say that $1,200 is a lot for a compact camera, and I have to agree with that. But nonetheless, I find this an interesting camera. I will be honest with you. I think for me, you know, because I do shoot Micro Four Thirds already, that I probably would be hesitant to invest $1,200 in this camera. However, if I were shooting with larger cameras all the time and I wanted a quality carry around without getting into a new system such as Micro Four Thirds, I would probably be more tempted by this camera. And I have recommended the RX100 to many people, and every one of them afterwards told me how much they enjoyed the camera and thanked me for the recommendation. So I think this is a quality device. If you want to know more about the ins and outs of it, click on the link in the show notes on this DP review, because they take you frame by frame and they show you the different features and really talk about what's different with this camera compared to its predecessor and compared to the rest of the market. It's an interesting capture device. Indeed it is. Okay, just a little bit of Virtual Camera Club news. First of all, I want to thank our Inner Circle members for their support. I ran a post, I think, on our Patreon site the other day showing the group shot from our Sonoma Coast workshop and mentioned that we had 5 Inner Circle members on that workshop, which I just loved. I mean, it was fantastic. It made my heart feel so good to be able to have them there, share time with them, and tell them how much I appreciate their support. And then, of course, any Inner Circle member that want to join us for the new podcasting skills course, you will receive a 10% coupon code so that you can save yourself some money on tuition as well. I try to do as many things for our Inner Circle members as I can, and I'm always exploring new ways to say thank you for supporting this podcast, for supporting all the new endeavors, all the wacky stuff that comes to my brain. Inner Circle members help make that happen. If you want to become part of that, all you have to do is click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. See what's going on there, and if you like what you see, sign up and become an Inner Circle member. I will thank you forever if you do. And a big thank you to our friends at Red River Paper, the people that bring joy to inkjet printing. They do. They do. You know, when you think about inkjet printing, and if you haven't done a lot of it, then you kind of go, I don't know where to start. I don't know what papers to choose. You know, I don't know what to do, right? That's a terrible feeling. And so when you don't know what to do, then you tend not to do it, okay? This is why their site is so cool and why I encourage you to go over and take a look at it. And you can start by clicking on the tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. Take you over to our landing page. But they will help you find the right tools for the things that you want to do. Whether it's creating fine art greeting cards or making big portraits, big printouts of portraits, or, you know, whatever you want to do, whatever is creatively in your mind that you would love to see come out of your inkjet printer, they can help you do that. They can help you pick the right stock. They have tutorials. And even if you don't have an inkjet printer that you like right now, they can help you find the right one with their reviews and recommendations. Again, they bring joy to inkjet printing. They make it doable. They make it plausible. They make it easy for us to complete the arc of being an artist by not only capturing the shot and working on the shot, but actually producing the shot, a physical manifestation of our vision that you can hand to someone and that they can put on their wall or that they can pull out of an envelope. Red River Paper, again, longest running sponsor of the Digital Story. They have a tile on all the pages, and they have a great Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. Thank you so much for joining me. It's just a pleasure to spend this time with you, working on some great stuff for next week. Until then, go out and do something new. Do one of those five things I talked about today, and then come back here next week for another show. Until then, bye-bye now.